With the Protégé Sports booth here at the FBR Open, the most popular golf tournament in the world. Protégé Sports, an amazing new online technology. It's a teaching tool to directly link the user with the top professional players and coaches in the world in every single sport. Go to protégésportsinc.com. A guy that you might want to listen to in terms of basketball is Tim Kempton. Eight years in the NBA, now having some fun watching probably the most fun to watch team in the NBA.
Well, Nick, you hit it on the head. I mean, we travel around the league broadcasting the games, and that's the first thing the other broadcasters say to us is, you know, you guys just have to be enjoying life. Most fun team to watch night in and night out. And we're not only publicizing that, but that's what everybody else around the league is concurring with.
We had Charles on the show yesterday, and, of course, Charles being the unopinionated person said that a team that dies by the sword, or lives by the sword, that the jump shot is going to die by it. You need defensive rebounding. Give us your counter to that in terms of what Charles is saying, that how the rebounding and defense of this team will be good enough to win in the playoffs when it's so much more important.
Well, Nick, first of all, this team isn't, it doesn't die and live by the jump shot by one guy. So one guy may be off on a certain night, but all six or seven guys aren't. So the depth of their jump shooters, first of all, you know, kills that fallacy. Right now they're shooting at over 50% from the field. They're shooting over 40% from three-point line.
Which is unbelievable.
No, never been done before. You know, and then they shoot over 80% from the line. There's just so many weapons on that team. So that's why I disagree with Charles in that point. And right now we're missing Kurt Thomas. Their defense has gotten better. They're very good. They're the toughest defense shooting from the three-point line. They got Steve Nash, Roger Bell, Kurt Thomas taking charges if you're going to try and attack the basket. And the best statistic I like right now, Nick, is the point differential. Yes, they score a lot of points, but they're the best team in point differential in the NBA. They beat teams consistently by 9 points or better. Even the second best one is San Antonio at 7, and they don't even score 100 points a game.
Talking with Tim Kempton, the color man for the Phoenix Suns. Tim, the other thing that Charles was saying is against San Antonio, against Utah, against Dallas, against Denver, this team has been terrible, but that was earlier. What's the difference? Because, you know, it's one thing for somebody to say that it's Boris Diaw playing 20 pounds overweight, but it's more about how much better they're playing. What specifically are they doing now?
Well, I agree with them. You know, first of all, you do have to beat those teams. And the Suns were terrible when they played those guys early in the year. And the nice thing about it is our upcoming four games, San Antonio, Utah, and Denver, two of them are home. Denver's on the road with all their players there. So this is going to be a great time to see it because the Suns are playing well right now. They're in their rhythm. You have to remember, they've spent a wacky preseason going to Europe. They came back. They didn't have their regular preparation time. Those first five, six games where they went 1-5 was their preseason. Since then, they've been phenomenal.
What's your prediction in terms of how they do against the top teams the next week?
Oh, I think they'll win all three of them. First of all, we've had some rest coming back off the road. San Antonio's the first one. Utah's a little dinged up with Carlos Boozer and Andre Kirilenko. And then going into Denver against AI and Carmelo Anthony, these guys will be ready for those three games.
That's a lot of fun to watch those guys play all at once. Final question, who's your pick in the Super Bowl?
Indianapolis Colts. I'm a Peyton Manning guy. I think, you know, I like their style. Very similar to the Suns. They're an offensive team. They're going to put up a lot of points. The Bears got a pretty good defense, but not good enough to stop that offense.
Andrew Lombard, the CEO of Protégé Sports, who's a Bears fan, is very upset. But, Tim, thank you for joining us, brother. I appreciate it. Now we're going to switch to a subject that some of you may think about from time to time, but you don't hear about. We're joined by Mike Kennedy, the chairman, and Deb Wardrop, and maybe Bob Sullivan, the president of the Super Bowl committee, who are down there in Miami getting ready for the not only what's going on there this year, but of course learning about what it's going to take for the supreme undertaking in Phoenix in 2008. Mike and Deb, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing fine.
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. I remember one statistic from the 1981, I believe that was, Detroit Super Bowl, that enough liquor was spent on the press party with the commissioner to have paid for the entire artificial turf field at Detroit. And I have a feeling 25 years later, it's that much more.
Putting
you on the spot.
Smaller.
Nick, you would remember something like that.
Yeah, well, I figured that everybody has fun, and Jared Bell got a little bit personal there because I was telling him that, you know, I knew that he was there having some fun. The reality is the media are there to do their work, but you are going to need up to 10,000 volunteers. You're going to have to raise $15 million to fulfill your obligations. Tell us just how big an undertaking is this.
Well, it's been, at least on the fundraising side, that's occupied most of our efforts over the course of the last 2 years. We're pretty pretty close to our goal, and we're going to go on the clock here next week and turn to things like recruiting volunteers and getting more in an operational phase.
Well, tell us how much you've learned, Mike and Deb, from the BCS championships and some of the other major events here. This is such a big deal. What is different about a bowl game in college, no matter how big it is, and the Super Bowl?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the college bowls allow us to see what's going on relative to certainly what we did with the Fiesta Bowl and the BCS. It was a great opportunity to see how the stadium works. There are a lot of differences, however, in that the NFL comes in and uses a template that is really different. One of those is, of course, the volunteer situation. The Fiesta Bowl has a group of people that work year after year after year. We will be recruiting volunteers that are a one-time situation, and those volunteers are going to not just be working they really won't be working inside the stadium on game day, but rather they're working the weekend before for NFL experience. They'll be working out at the airport and all through the valley. And we're starting that recruiting effort actually in April with a big splash.
You know, I'm here at the FBR Open. I know there got to be some logistical challenges. You got, hopefully, a synergy there with all these other people that are going to be here for the golf. What are you going to do to cooperate or work together with the FBR people to make it an even more fun event for all, both the golf and the football fans?
Well, we've already, Nick, joined forces with the Thunderbirds, and, of course, the FBR Open is a great event that showcases Arizona. We think it's the key to having folks come to Super Bowl 42, not just for the traditional 4 days, but we're going to invite people to come for the game and stay for the week and partake of the FBR Open.
Tell us what the Thunderbirds are for those people in New York and Florida and around the country that don't know about the Thunderbirds. They certainly are the role models, in my view, of how community leaders can truly raise not just hundreds of thousands of dollars, but millions of dollars and have a major impact in the social quality of life in a city.
Actually, I think last year the FBR Open moved into first place among all the PGA events in terms of dollars generated for charity, and I think they were at $6.8 million.
$6.8 million. Well, let's talk about your experience, Mike. You're the chairman, Deb's the CEO. You both have a lot of work in front of you as the people that run the host committee for the 2008 Super Bowl. Mike, you were there in the Super Bowl 30 in Tempe, and by the way, that's the reason that I moved to Phoenix. I was here for a couple appearances when I was playing for the New York Jets, and I loved it so much I kept thinking, let's see now. In the wintertime, Long Island, as nice as it might be, Scottsdale. Long Island, Scottsdale. So I've been here ever since, and my experience with that Super Bowl was part of it. Mike, what did you learn from Super Bowl 30 that you're applying this time around?
Well, it was a great success in 1996, as you just alluded to, and certainly exposed the valley to the world. The clear message that we had after that, though, from the NFL, who was very appreciative and recognized that the state did a great job, but the message was without a stadium, they probably wouldn't come back. So the primary difference between now and 1996 is University of Phoenix Stadium and the efforts by the Bidwell family and the Cardinals to bring that stadium online. And I think some of the things that we learned that will apply again this time is involving the entire state. This is a statewide initiative. statewide effort, and we have some ideas in store that we're going to unleash next week as to how to make it a statewide effort, and as I said, go on the clock for Super Bowl 42.
And, you know, people may not realize this, Deb. Before you, I just wanted to get a plug in also, and we'll get some good things tomorrow in about the Chicago Bears. But the reality is, Phoenix is close to passing Chicago in the television market in the next few years. And I want people to realize that Phoenix is truly becoming one of the major cities in this country, whether it's the FBR Open, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the BCS, they're all coming here. Deb, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, just to point out how much this is a statewide effort, we have represented in our booth here in the media center, Tucson, for example. Maybe people don't know, but Tucson is 2 hours south of Phoenix, and Tucson is here with us, represented in the booth, along with the Arizona Office of Tourism and the Arizona Department of Commerce and most of our other major convention and visitors bureaus. So we really are reaching out to the entire state to help people understand. And it's the first time, really, that this is a statewide effort, not just a regional effort.
That's Deb Wardrobe, the CEO, and we're talking also with Mike Kennedy, the chairman of the 2008 Phoenix Super Bowl Committee. What are you learning about South Beach? What's new there this year?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that the NFL experience is actually inside of the perimeter. It's been close by in the past, but it's actually inside the perimeter next to the stadium. And a couple of the concerts are going to be in there as well, including the Pepsi Smash concert on Thursday and Friday night. So there's a big focus on bringing that all together, which will be, assuming it's a very big success, which we think it will be, is the same thing that we're going to do next year in Glendale.
Deb, tell us, before we get to Mike, tell us what is the most important party, or what freedom do you have to create your own special parties along with those signature events like the Commissioner's Party?
Well, we're doing a couple. We're planning to do what we're calling a celebration event, which will be for the kickoff of what we're doing next year. It will happen on Monday night, the week of Super Bowl. We're also planning to do quite a few events. One that we're doing, it will be a statewide event that will run for the entire year of Super Bowl, starting our first official one will be, I think, on February 24th, that will be all of the 42 cities in the state of Arizona will be participating with a game ball going to all of those cities throughout the state. Some pretty exciting activity with this game ball going all over the state and ending up with about this time next year kicking off a major event next February with Super Bowl 42.
One last thing I'd like to ask Mike is, can we work together to do more to bring the older players? We're going to talk with Jerry Kramer and Willie Davis, two Green Bay Packer Hall of Famers, about that tomorrow show, Mike. What can we do next year to bring in more of the star older players and involve them in this event as well?
Well, I don't know that we have any special plans for that, Nick. I think it's certainly a worthy objective. I think that we are going to reach out, and of course, in Arizona, one of the guys we'll reach out with is Larry Wilson from Hall of Famer Larry
sure.
Wilson from the Cardinals, and Debbie's been working on something that.
We're actually working with Bob Reed as well, and we've met with him and.
Well, listen, we're gonna let you go. For some reason, your line cut off. But Debbie Wardrop, really appreciate CEO, and Mike Kennedy. We'll have you on again in a month or two and talk about how important this is to a city and what a difference it can make to making a city take it to the next level, the Super Bowl of cities, if you will. Thank you, Mike Kennedy. Deb Wardrop,
right.
We'll be right back with final thoughts. Appreciate it. On Head Games Radio and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.